We're happy to have Elsie minister to us today. It's going to be great. She's actually following on from what we've been talking about all the month of August, talking about bearing fruit, living from the spirit, not living from the soul, and commanding the soul causing the soul or calling the soul into submission to your spirit, living from your spirit. And she's going to extend that, elaborate on that, and make it more practical. So why don't you stretch your hands towards this amazing woman of God? How can we be so far back? You want to be this far back? Up to you. I mean, you can.
There, I can read my notes.
So, Father, we just bless your servant, this blonde bombshell. I ask that you would just speak through her, Father, that you would minister your love, your truth. Father God, take us deeper into your spirit, Lord. You've called us. You're calling us as a church, locally as a church, right around the world, globally, to really press into you, especially in these days of turmoil and confusion and uncertainty. You're calling us to just go deeper into you, to live from that place of your spirit, live from that third heaven, live from the place of the fact that we're seated with you in heavenly places. So we ask God that you would release that to us, that revelation, that understanding, and make it real for each one of us, that we know exactly how to do this. In Jesus' name. It's going to be good, folks. I can feel it. It's going to be awesome.
Wow. When we were praying pre-service prayer, Trish had a word that there's a shaft of light coming down here. I can feel his presence so strong. Wow. That was such a prophetic scripture that that Auten read out, Psalm 103. I have a picture of a tornado that is coming, or that has come. It was very destructive. This tornado has touched some of you. I think it's more than one or two people. I think that some of you have been feeling like something very destructive has come, and you can't make sense of what has just happened. And then I saw the word thankfulness. And thankfulness, I saw that this thankfulness becoming going in a circle like this, and all of a sudden it was going in the opposite direction that the tornado had come. And I feel that the Lord is going to release the works of the enemy, and that a spirit of thanksgiving is rising up on the inside of you. Whoa! Lord, we thank you. We put our eyes on you. You are faithful. Praise isn't just something we do. Praise is where we live. We live in the center, right in the center of your life and your strength. And we thank you that that's how close you are. You don't want us living at a distance. You don't want us outside of that power. That power is your embrace. And today we just say thank you that you love us like this, that you sweep us in, and you do unravel the works of the enemy. And Father, we ask that your glory funnel would come, that your glory funnel will come and rest on those who are activated in a spirit of thanksgiving. Release, release. Let your praise rise up. Thank you, Lord. Whoa, had to get that out of my system. Whoa. As Ramesh is putting up, are you putting up, Sybil, thank you. Sybil's going to put up a diagram. We're going to continue, as Ramesh said, on the the messages that he's been doing the last couple of weeks, last 3 weeks, isn't it? And as he said before, it's kind of interesting because John 15 is my life passage. I love that one. And here God's downloading to Ramesh on my passage. But I'm not put off by that because I'm feeding again. God is giving him such wonderful insight. And in fact, I feel like the Lord, these are all things that we know, but he's putting them in a context where it's so simple that we don't have to be like a ping pong when it comes to theology. He's showing us these things. And for those of you who weren't here in the last few weeks, we'll just quickly go over it. As Ramesh was saying, this represents us. This is us. We look like we are overweight because it's round. But that is the body right there. Oh, that's not funny. Anyway, our body, of course, is in the first heaven or the universe. And this is the part where our senses are activated. We experience this realm with our body, right? Smelling, tasting, touching, hearing, and so on. And then, of course, we have the soul. And the soul is that part of us that, Scripture, quite frankly, says that our soul or our carnal nature is at enmity with God. It's hostile to God. It does not submit to the will of God. And so this is the area where we struggle, our mind, our will, and emotions. And the thing is that our soul wasn't designed to operate on its own. And I'll come back to that in a minute. Thirdly, we have the spirit. And this is the third heaven. And this is where our spirits are connected with God. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've been born again of the Spirit, and you are safe. Sybil, I don't know if that you have that on the diagram or not. Well, because it's not there, Ramesh also had safe or saved here. The soul is being saved, and the body will be saved. Okay? Now, just quickly, Adam and Eve started this mess. So if we're going to blame anybody, let's blame them. There's going to be a long lineup in heaven. Anyway, Adam and Eve had all of these realms built into them. God designed them perfectly, right? So they were connected to God. There was no consciousness of death or battle or infirmities or sicknesses. And when God said to them, if you eat of the tree, you will die. Well, they didn't know it, but they did die. And I was asking the Lord to give me an illustration of this. And he said, it's like if you go into a garden and there are all these beautiful flowers in the garden, and then you go and collect them and you cut them off and then you go and put it in a vase. Well, that's kind of what happened with Adam and Eve. They got cut off from their life source. And, you know, flowers regularly last about a week, don't they? And then all of a sudden they begin to wither and fail and the petals fall off. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They began to go through that death process. And of course they passed that on to us. And so what happened was our bodies and our souls were like flowers in a vase, no life source. But then Jesus came. And Jesus came to bring us back to life in the spirit. He came so that our spirits could be reborn. And all we do is look to Jesus. We look to him. We accept him into our heart. When we ask Jesus to come into our hearts, he comes in by his Spirit, and he makes us alive. He makes us safe forever. Period. Done deal. Got that? Good. However, the soul is being saved. That's the part that is sanctified, that is going through the battle. We're so conscious of warfare over our lives. We're so conscious of our nature fighting us all the time. We know what we should do, but then we're even against ourselves and we don't do what we should do, right? If you're anything like me, it's ridiculous. But this really helps me to understand that God so loves me that he is not going to leave me subject to even my carnal nature. I'm going to read Ephesians 1, 18 to 23, and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you, in light of some of these points, I want you just to soak in as I read this scripture over us. Okay, this is just being saturated in prayer right now. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way, right down to his toes. God has made provision for us to bring us back to life. About 3 weeks ago, just as Ramesh was getting prepared to minister on John 15, the first message, I was just soaking. And I had my eyes closed. I was seeing myself seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden, I was on the Father's lap. And he said, ask. And I said, what do you want me to ask for? And he didn't answer right then. But as soon as he said, ask, his arms shot out around me. But his arms turned into a vine. And I found myself right in the center of this vine. And then the vine went boom, 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 right down into the earth. And right behind me came all the provision that was needed in my daily experience. In Christ, seated far above principalities and powers. In Christ, in the vine, abiding in the vine. And what do I ask for when I'm in that place? I'm asking for his glorious presence to come through me. That I'm a branch now, along with you. And we're branching out into the highways and the byways. And we have this amazing light. We have this amazing love of God. We have this amazing life source pouring through us. And he's powerful, and he's trying to get out. Abiding in Christ is not just a little doctrine. This is the deal. This is the kingdom of God coming, the will of God being done in this earth. He is trying to get out. I'm not yelling at you. I just feel his zeal. Ephesians 2:6 says, and God raised us up already, past tense. He raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This is where Jesus is right now, right here, because we're already living in a heavenly realm. We just don't know how to tap in. That's changing, though. Because when we get a revelation of where our position really is, look out. A few weeks ago, Ramesh and I listened to an interview. Ryan Wyatt is this fellow's name. He's a wonderful minister, and he ministers in signs, wonders, and miracles. Many of you are already aware of who he is. But he tells about one time he was ministering in his hotel room, and he thought, oh, the temperature in here is getting really hot. And he just started boiling. And all of a sudden, Jesus walked into the room, and there was oil dripping off of his hands. Now, this wasn't something he saw with his spiritual eyes. He saw Jesus with his natural eyes. And the presence of God was very weighty in the room, and Ryan was vibrating, and he was crying, he was weeping. And Jesus said two things to him. Now, when Jesus shows up and you see him with your natural eyes, I think it's really important to pay attention. And I haven't been able to stop thinking about this. So I'm inviting you to join me and think about this. Jesus said, I'm pouring out the oil of the overcomers in this hour for those who will position themselves with me. I'm desperately hungry that I would have a people who lay hold of their full inheritance. Whoa. But get this. This is the second thing he said. I'm desperately hungry that I would have my full inheritance in my people. If you want some scripture for that, Jesus even told Ryan some scripture. Ezekiel 44:28 says, and this in this passage, God's speaking to the priests and the Levites, and he says, I am to be the only inheritance the priests have. You are to give them no possession in Israel. I will be their possession. How many have laid it all out there for the Lord? Wow. Yes. So we've laid down our lives for the Lord because he's laid down our lives. I got that backwards. He laid down his life. We lay down our lives. That's the way the relationship works. And Rita has oil pouring off of her hands up here. Whoa. Whew. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Whew. We actually had a prayer meeting Friday night, and we didn't see him with our natural eyes, but Jesus did come in the room, and he was pouring oil with his hand. He just took his hand, and he was pouring it on us. Whoa. Whew. And now we're seeing the manifestation of it. We're going to have to show that around. I can see it from here. Wow. Anyway, Ephesians 3:10 says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That means you and me. We are actually on display. It's not the works that are on display. We are on display. And we're on display before principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. See, in the huge, great big plan and wisdom of God, all of his love, all of his power, all of his character, all of who he is, the supernatural realm of God is to be put on display in us, the church. And we don't see ourselves like that. But the enemy of our soul certainly does, because look, what's the big battle all about? He already knows that we are safe, but he's trying to keep us from knowing how incredible we are, that we radiate the glory of God, that we're so shiny. Everybody should be wearing sunglasses around us. We should be. But he can con us. The enemy can con us because of our brokenness. He can keep us so that we don't know how gorgeous and beautiful and strong we are. But let me tell you, if you're abiding in the vine, you're drinking of his life. You're drinking of the very essence of God pouring through you. Our bodies should be so vibrating and humming. When you get close to Jesus, that's what you do, because that's what he does, right? He hums, he vibrates. You know, it is so sobering to get up here and to speak, because I'm supposed to be releasing the very words of God. What a feeble attempt. But come, Holy Spirit, get past all of that natural stuff and let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Jesus' inheritance is completely tied up in us. Romans says that this, you know, all of creation is groaning to see the sons of God manifest. Well, what's that about? Oh, I want to go home. I want to go home to heaven. Life is so hard. No, not that kind of groaning. It's like, oh my goodness, look at God's goodness. Look at him bursting out here. Look at the loving acts of God. Look at his beauty radiating through those people. Why are they so joyful in the middle of all this tribulation? Why is it real? When you have an authentic faith, nothing can hold you back. You can be crying on the outside, but it turns to gold to other people, because they know that you're touched with the feelings of their infirmities, because you have the nature of God radiating through you. Wow. The kingdom of God is at hand. It didn't leave when Jesus left. He just left this realm of the earth. He brought us into the realm that counts. We've been brought right into him. Heaven is at hand. He left so that he could fill his body. We don't think of ourselves as Jesus' body. That's just a religious word a lot of the time. But literally, we are his extension of love. We're his vessels. When we ask him to fill us with his Holy Spirit, that's not a doctrine to get all, you know, have controversy on. That's an invitation to drink deeply of his life, his life source. That's what it's all about. It's like, oh God, I need you, because my soul and my body are cut flowers. And I got to have my sap coming from you. I've got to drink deeply of your life, because I'm just a withering flower. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Everything that he has given us for life and godliness is already on the inside, right here, and it's bursting to get out, and it has to go through this second heaven, this broken area. And the sooner that we let him lead, the sooner that we lean into his bosom and listen to his instruction, the sooner we're going to see the glory of God released. When folks like Pat and Rudy, God raises them up to help you with that broken soul, that thing that is hostile towards God's will. You'd think that it wouldn't be, but it is, because it is subject with legal rights to the enemy's territory. Adam and Eve, in all of their fallenness, didn't realize that the enemy had legal rights. And when we line up with the Spirit of God, the enemy loses his ability to deceive us any longer, because legally our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are citizens of heaven. That is where we belong. That's where our reference point should be. That's where our position is. And any other message, kick it out. You're not a victim. You are an overcomer, and as Jesus said, he's got oil for overcomers. He doesn't expect you to high step over things. He expects you to lean into him, and he'll lift you up and carry you over those things, because that's our God. How do we do that? He invites us to look away from ourselves. If Jesus is lifted up and we look to him, that frees us up to look at ourselves in pride or in self-abasement or anything else. When we look to Jesus, he becomes so beautiful that he wins us over with his love and with his beauty. But we have to look. Can you imagine, like the children of Israel, when the snakes were biting them, all they had to do was look to that symbol of Jesus, that snake lifted up on a bronze stick. All they had to do was look, and they'd be saved. But it says that a whole bunch of them died. Thousands of them died. Why? Maybe the stiff neck. Maybe, no. Maybe they had an attitude. Maybe they couldn't forgive. Maybe they were bitter. Who knows what? It's the same brokenness, right? And these things keep us from the love of God, from the very essence of who God is. Don't miss. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. And be conscious of being with him. You know, God created us for these realms. You know, some of you are thinking, well, you know what, I have a hard enough dealing with my natural realm. Why would I want to start going into spiritual hokey pokey? Well, God designed us to live in heavenly realms. It's all in there. But we got to get activated by faith. Once our eyes are fixed on Jesus, he said he would lead us into all truth. He will equip us. He will fill us. He's going to teach us how to operate in all of these senses, because he's given us spiritual senses. We can see in the Spirit, hear in the Spirit, feel in the Spirit, smell in the Spirit. What else? Touch. Yes, touch. Taste. There's the other one. I like food, so I should have had that one first. Wow. Romans 8:14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Does this make more sense? Being led by the Spirit? You can see why he wants us to be led? So that this doesn't lead. Our soul is broken. How can it lead us? You know, our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions. They're all over the map usually. Usually. No matter how smart you are, no matter how strong-willed you are, it's going to lead you astray because there's limitations. I did a study on the word wickedness. And it doesn't mean, you know, psychics and terrorists and all that. It means the will. Wickedness has everything to do with relying on your own strength. The soulish realm keeps us bound because the enemy has legal rights there, and the kingdom of God cannot come when we are being led by the soulish nature. Flesh gives birth to flesh. And by the way, as Ramesh pointed out last week, the body is not the flesh. It is the carnal mind, the soul. That is the flesh that we deal with. It is vicious. It is hostile. And we have to command our soul. Come on, get with the program. See, Jesus doesn't hate the soul. He loves our soul. He designed our soul. Everything he does is to save our soul. He loves us. He wants to bring real life back to us right there. That is the part he's restoring. Being led means walking in obedience, being in relationship, having a willingness to be taught, a willingness to be corrected, encouraged, so that the Holy Spirit can pour his life in and through us. Being led is basically intimacy with God. How many love that place of intimacy with him? Generally speaking, intimacy with God does not always come easy. It's, you know, when they say cultivate intimacy, cultivate it. Well, cultivating means working on the hard ground. You know, taking this tiller and going through the hardest thing and flipping it over. And that's not easy. Sometimes we think, well, everybody else gets to be intimate with God. Why is this so hard for me? Because that soul is vicious. It likes to self-protect. It likes to stay hard because it's safer in here. No, it's not safe. It's not safe at all. The soul is at enmity with God. And we must take it by the scruff of the neck and say, you will listen to the lover of your soul. Because he's the only one that loves our soul. He's the only one that really, 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 really gets us. He's the only one who can read our mail. He can read it upside down, backwards, sideways. He knows us, and he so wants us to know his incredible love for us. John 15, you know, it's all about him saying, I am the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Ramesh talked last week about Jesus' fruit. You know, trees have all kinds of fruit. Well, if we're in Jesus' vine, then we should be having Jesus' fruit. Sometimes you just have to examine your heart. Do I have any Jesus' fruit? And then ask him, help me to step into that place where I'm connected with you. Let me see the fruit. Let your obedience encourage you. Let him bring you in there. And Hebrews 5 talks about exercising our spiritual senses, and that this is something for the mature. Well, God is calling us to maturity in this hour. And he's saying, I want you to be able to be so comfortable wherever you are, so comfortable with being and remaining in me, that you will know the atmosphere wherever you're going. In the natural, we don't have to think about walking in a room and smelling. You don't have to think, okay, now I'm going to smell, or now I'm going to see, or now I'm going to hear. No, all those things are working all the time. And we should be getting so exercised that at a drop of a hat, we can pick up on things. We can focus and we know with confidence what God thinks about each other. I'm always mesmerized by the prophetic because, wow, I get to hear God's jealous thoughts about people. No wonder Paul said, I wish you all would prophesy, because it gets rid of criticism and judgment just like that. In fact, you probably won't even hear the prophetic properly if you're judging and if you're critical and you know, protecting your own heart and all that other stuff, because the prophetic gifts work in love. They work properly when you remain in the vine. It's the love factor. If we're going to be trained in love, then God's got to train us to love. It's not always easy. And some of you, I know some of your stories, and I'd probably weep if you told them to me again. But there are offenses that you've walked through, and you have Jesus fruit in your life because by faith you've high stepped over those offenses and you've walked in love and you are bearing Jesus fruit. And you can have confidence that when you're sitting on the Father's lap and you ask, it will be done. Because that is the love factor at work. John 15, again, ask and it will be given to you so that the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And, you know, if you obey my commands, well, what is the command there? We always like the ask part, but it's if you obey the command. Well, what is that? Love one another. Now, God's not talking about loving one another in our own strength. See, our soul is broken. Our soul doesn't know its head from its toes. I was going to say tail. No, the love of God issues from the love of God, from His heart. He will impart to you the kind of love that you need to give. But it requires that we stay in the vine, drinking in His thoughts, drinking in His strength, letting Him fill those places of void. So our thing should be, Lord, how do You want me to see? What do You want me to see? What do You want me to hear? What do You want me to do? And it's Christ-centered, and it's truth-based, and it's compassion-based. And I believe that that is how our giftings start to be exercised. We get muscle. But when we use those things, when we use our senses, they get stronger. In this room right now, there are words of knowledge right in the atmosphere because God is always thinking about you. The only thing missing is being able to receive. I need a receiver in order to get those thoughts. What's that receiver? Faith in Jesus Christ. Fixing my eyes on Him. And He doesn't even say, use your own faith. He says, ask for the gift of faith. So He even gives us God faith so that you have confidence. Like, when you have confidence in something that God says, nothing can shake you from it. It's just like, I know this is true. This is it. This is it. And that's the kind of confidence that we have when we're abiding in the vine because we know His heart. In this room, we have ministering angels that are ready to be activated. If you want to see angels activated, just start talking about them or talking about their assignments. All of a sudden, you begin to feel things. You know, it's like a playground in any given room. There's all this activity that we could become aware of. So we have prophetic words. We have ministering angels. We have the very presence of God here. There's no end to things that could happen. Healings, signs, wonders, miracles. These are the normal things that we should be hungry for, that we should be exercising in. Not just waiting for them to happen to us. You're going to probably miss it if you're waiting for something to happen. You, by faith, need to step in. As I was saying to somebody this morning, you know, we live our lives from the outside in. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus lived internally, and his external reality was the same thing as his internal reality. Isn't that good? See, he's the one who always shows us the example of what to do. My whole life changed with this revelation. When I began to hear the Father pull me up and hold me, I began to see myself positioned with him, far above principalities and powers. And I've never been able to shake that. That was a revelation of the Father heart of God that I will always hold dear, because I live my life from there now. I'm not a victim anymore. I'm an overcomer in Christ Jesus. His oil is on me. I have a life flow. I'm no longer a cut vase or a cut flower in a vase. I have my flower rooted in Christ. I'm growing in his garden, and there is fruit coming off of my plant. And I'm not boasting. I'm boasting in Christ Jesus in me. His life flow is real. I am no longer a victim. Everything is subject to me because I'm positioned in that place. I am seated with him. And he is so jealous for us to enter into what belongs to us. And we are going to be changing our atmosphere. As I heard somebody say, God didn't call us to be thermometers. You know, we walk in a room and we spiritually discern what's in the room, the temperature of the room. Oh, that's good. I mean, he wants us to be able to discern those things. But he wants us to be thermostats, where when we walk in a room, the heat goes up. There's all kinds of rooms where you go and the heat goes down. I was like, it's cool in here. Well, no. We want to have new identities. We want to have our identity in Christ. We want to be drinking from that sap so that when we walk into any given room, the glory of God is released. And you don't even have to think about it. He just flows because you know who you are and you know who you're sitting with. And I believe that his whole desire in cheering us on this morning is that we would reach in. He wants us to live from the inside out. So if the enemy says, oh, you're a dirty dog, you've lost it, you're a loser, blah, 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 there's no end to that negative stream. If you start on that one, you'll never finish. But if you start with Jesus, I'm depending on your righteousness, not mine, then watch heaven flood your soul and your atmosphere wherever you go. Amen. That's about all I have to say. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I have a piece of paper here with some things I jotted down. I like to practice what I preach. So I asked the Lord, is there anything in the atmosphere here? And there are some of you I've already ask, if you are sensing something that the Lord wants to say to anyone in particular, or all of us in general, those people that I ask, if any of you pick something up, Dev, I'm going to just come down. This is Dev.
Hi. I believe God wants to heal the brokenhearted today. Yeah. Strong feeling about that. I mentioned to Ramesh earlier. And so a lot of times, even leaders, people in leadership who've been around for a long time, they think if their heart is not broken in half or there's a major hurt, they tend to discount the impact. Now, all we heard this morning, we heard Elsie talking about your soul being saved. That concept of being saved, as I was hearing it, I really began to realize it was about dominion, right? Giving Holy Spirit, giving Jesus access, full dominion to our soul. So there's certain parts of our souls that are broken, where there are finite cracks. Maybe you've been in ministry a long time, you serve God a whole lot of time, and there's these small little cracks, and you've neglected them because you think, you know what, I know better, I love God, I'm in ministry, I'm doing all these things. But today he wants to heal all of those things, the giant cracks, the small cracks, leaders' hearts, everybody's hearts. So like Ramesh and Elsie talked about, that our souls can be fully saved, full dominion over it. So out of that place of wholeness that we can begin to minister and heal. When Jesus showed up and he read that scripture in Luke, the second thing he talked about was he said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. He thought it was so significant that when he was making a declaration about who he was, he talked about the gospel and he talked about healing the brokenhearted. Absolutely. So now close your hearts and minds. Come on.
No, open
your minds. Close your hearts. Open your minds. Okay. All of the above. No. Quiet yourselves down and begin to look inwardly, right? And begin to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you about the areas in your heart that are still have broken gaps in it. And now put your hands in your hearts and say, Father, I give you dominion over all areas of my heart. And I give you power and control to come in and heal every aspect of it. So begin to reveal to me those minute cracks. And I bring them before you, and I give you dominion. I give you access. I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to come and to heal, to transform me radically in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Dad.